This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How the Strong Method Builds Emotional Control Before a Conflict Conversation Starts. 6 steps that keep your emotions from running the conversation for you. In short, emotional control in conflict isn't about feeling nothing. It is about arriving at the conversation with your thinking brain in charge rather than your threat response. Without deliberate preparation, even experienced communicators hand the conversation over to their worst reactive habits before they speak a single word. The Strong Method gives you a 6-step pre-conversation ritual that builds emotional control structurally, not through willpower. Each step addresses a specific source of emotional hijack and clear intention, shallow breathing, rigid perspective, vague accusations, solution blindness, and uncommitted endings. Done consistently, this preparation becomes the foundation of genuine composure under pressure. Definition: emotional control method refers to a structured, pre-conversation process for managing your internal state before a high-stakes or conflict-driven discussion begins. It prepares your nervous system, thinking, and intention so that your emotional responses serve the conversation rather than derail it. You plan the conversation a dozen times in your head. You had the words ready. You told yourself you would stay calm, stay clear, stay respectful. Then the other person said one thing, the thing you half expected them to say, and everything you prepared vanished. Your voice tightened, your thinking narrowed. You said something you did not mean, or nothing at all when something needed to be said. The emotional control you thought you had turned out to be a house built on sand. I have been there more times than I care to count. And what I have learned over 6 decades is this: emotional control in a conflict conversation is not something you find in the middle of it. You build it before it starts. And Say It Right Every Time, I describe this preparation as the Strong Method, a 6-step pre-conversation which I covered in Chapter 6. It is not a shortcut. It is the structure that gives you something to stand on when the ground shakes. Why your emotions are already running before you sit down. Most people treat emotional preparation as something they do during a conflict. They try to breathe when they feel themselves flushing. They search for calm in the middle of a storm. By then, it is too late. What you are fighting is not just the conversation itself. You are fighting anticipatory anxiety, the dread that starts hours or days before the exchange. Your brain perceives interpersonal conflict as a genuine threat, and it responds with the same chemistry as a physical danger: cortisol, a narrowed field of attention, and an overwhelming pull toward fight, freeze, or flight. As I describe in detail in the article on the amygdala hijack, this process fires before you consciously register it. The result is that most people arrive at conflict conversations already flooded. Their composure is already compromised. Their thinking is already narrowed. The conversation has not even started, and they have already lost the advantage. Structure is the answer. Not a script you memorize, but a method that builds the internal conditions for clear thinking before the first word is spoken. The Strong Method, your emotional control framework before the conversation begins. In Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, I introduce the Strong Method as a 6-step pre-conversation ritual. Each letter addresses a specific point where emotions typically hijack difficult conversations. Work through each step in order, and you arrive at the conversation grounded, clear, and in command of yourself. Step 1. State your intention. What this step is for. This step stops the single most common cause of emotional flooding before a conflict conversation: going in without knowing what you actually want. How it works. Number 1. Write down, in one sentence, what you genuinely want this conversation to achieve. Number 2. Check whether your stated intention is about resolving the issue or about winning, punishing, or proving a point. Number 3. If the latter, write it until it reflects the outcome that would actually serve both parties. Number 4. Read the sentence aloud once before you start the next step. In use. Imagine you need to address a colleague who has been consistently dismissive in team meetings. Without a clear intention, your brain fills the gap with a desire to be vindicated. A clear intention sounds like, I want us to find a way to discuss ideas where both of us feel heard. That single sentence changes what you're emotionally preparing for. When to use it. Every conflict conversation, without exception, the shorter and more honest the intention statement, the better it works. When not to rely on it alone. If you realize while writing that your intention is genuinely punitive and you cannot reframe it, the conversation may need to wait. Proceeding without honest intention is preparation for an ambush, not a resolution. Eamon's note. I used to think I knew what I wanted going into hard conversations. I was usually wrong. What I wanted was to be right. Naming your real intention is humbling work, but it is the most important sentence you will write. Step 2. Take a breath. What this step is for. This step addresses the physiological component of emotional flooding. It resets your nervous system before the conversation begins. How it works. Number 1. Sit or stand in a composed posture, shoulders back, feet grounded, jaw relaxed. Number 2. Breathe in for 4 counts through the nose. Number 3. Hold for 2 counts. Number 4. Breathe out slowly for 6 counts through the mouth. Number 5. Repeat 3 to 5 times and notice the shift in your chest and shoulders. In use, this is not decorative. Slow, deliberate breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and begins lowering the cortisol that anticipatory anxiety has been building. Power posture, as I describe in Chapter 6, works alongside this. The way you hold your body sends a signal to your brain about whether you're in threat mode or in problem-solving mode. When to use it? Immediately before the conversation, ideally in the final 2 minutes beforehand. Do it alone, not in front of the other person. When not to rely on it alone? This step manages symptoms. It does not resolve the underlying cause of your anxiety, which is why it works best as part of the full sequence, not as a standalone fix. Eamon's note. I have taken this breath in bathroom stalls, car parks, stairwells, and empty conference rooms. It works every time. The body leads the mind more than most of us are willing to admit. Step 3. Respect all perspectives. What this step is for. This step counteracts the rigid, one-sided thinking that conflict produces. When we feel threatened, we stop being able to genuinely hold any viewpoint but our own. How it works. Number 1. Write down your view of the situation in 2 sentences. Number 2. Then write down, as honestly as you can, the other person's likely view in 2 sentences. Number 3. Identify one thing in their perspective that has merit, even partial merit. Number 4. Hold this acknowledgement in mind as a resource for the conversation itself. In use, say you're preparing to address a direct report who has missed 3 deadlines. Your view this is a performance problem. Their likely view they've been overloaded without adequate support. The merit in their view resource constraints are real. That single acknowledgement changes the emotional register you work in with. You arrive curious rather than prosecutorial. When to use it? Any conflict where you are genuinely convinced you are entirely right. That certainty is usually a signal that you have not yet considered the other side with care. When not to rely on it alone? Perspective taking does not mean abandoning your position. It means understanding the full picture so your position is better informed, not surrendered. Eamon's note. Every time I have gone into a hard conversation convinced the other person was simply wrong, I have come out knowing I missed something. This step is the honest work of preparing to be surprised. Step 4. Offer specific examples. What this step is for. Vague complaints produce defensive reactions. Specific, observable examples keep both parties emotionally grounded in fact rather than interpretation. How it works. Number 1. Write down 2 to 3 concrete, specific examples of the behavior you need to address. Number 2. For each example, note what happened, when it happened, and what the impact was. Number 3. Remove adjectives that describe character rude, lazy, difficult, and replace them with observable actions interrupted twice during the presentation, submitted the report 4 days after the agreed date. Number 4. Practice saying each example aloud in a neutral tone. In use, compare these 2 opening statements. The first, you are always dismissive in meetings. The second, in Tuesday's planning session and again on Thursday, you responded to my suggestions by talking over me before I finished. The first provokes defensiveness. The second creates a specific, addressable moment that both people can engage with without their emotions escalating. When to use it? Always. Vague accusations are the single most reliable trigger for emotional escalation in conflict conversations. When not to rely on it alone? Specific examples address what happened. The other steps address why it matters and where you go from here. Examples without intention or direction become interrogations. Eamon's note. Naming the emotion to reduce its power is a real thing. When you can say specifically what happened, the vague dread around the conversation starts to dissolve. You are no longer fighting a shadow. Step 5. Navigate to solutions. What this step is for. This step redirects your emotional energy from blame to resolution before you enter the room. People who are solution-focused arrive differently than people who are grievance-focused. How it works. Number 1. Write down 2 or 3 possible solutions or outcomes you could propose. Number 2. For each, note whether it serves only you or whether it could genuinely serve both parties. Number 3. Identify the solution you would be most willing to commit to if the conversation goes well. Number 4. Prepare a question you could ask the other person about what resolution would look like from their side. In use. Using the missed deadlines example, your solutions might include a revised workload distribution, a weekly check-in to catch bottlenecks earlier, or a clear agreement about how deadline challenges are communicated in advance. Having these ready means that even if the conversation gets tense, you have somewhere constructive to steer it. When to use it. Any conflict where you want resolution rather than catharsis. If you are only preparing to vent, this step will feel wrong. That is useful information. When not to rely on it alone. Solutions without emotional groundwork feel like impositions. This step works because the earlier steps have already shifted your internal state toward genuine resolution. Eamon's note. I used to walk into hard conversations with a full account of what went wrong and no idea what I wanted to happen next. That is not preparation. That is prosecution. Step 6. Gain commitment to action. What this step is for. Conversations that end without a clear, agreed next step leave both parties in emotional limbo. Anticipating this closure prepares you to hold the conversation with purpose. How it works. Number 1. Decide in advance what a successful ending to this conversation looks like. Number 2. Prepare one specific, concrete question that moves toward commitment. Can we agree to try this for the next 2 weeks and check back in? Number 3. Prepare yourself for partial agreement. Know what minimum commitment you would accept. Number 4. Prepare yourself for no agreement. Know what your next step will be if this conversation does not resolve the issue. In use. Preparing for commitment turns the conversation from an emotional event into a practical one. Even if the exchange gets difficult, you know you're steering toward a specific destination. That knowledge reduces reactivity in the moment, because you're not lost. When to use it. All conflict conversations, where you need a change in behaviour or circumstances, not just acknowledgement. When not to rely on it alone. Some conversations need to end with the issue named, and the door opened for a follow-up. Forcing premature commitment can damage the trust that earlier steps built. Know the difference between a resolution conversation and a first contact conversation. Eamon's note. Knowing where I want to land does not mean I will always get there, but it means I stay calm longer, because I have a direction. Rudderless conversations are where emotions take the wheel. Choosing the right step to lean on when pressure is highest. The full strong sequence is the ideal preparation. But in practice, different situations call for different points of emphasis. The table below gives you a guide for where to put extra energy based on what is making you most reactive. If your emotional challenge is focus your preparation on you are furious and want to win step 1, state your intention. You are physically tense and flooded step 2, take a breath. You are convinced the other person is entirely wrong step 3, respect all perspectives. You are afraid of being dismissed or denied step 4, offer specific examples. You cannot see a way forward step 5, navigate to solutions. You are afraid the conversation will end unresolved. Step 6. Gain commitment to action. You do not skip the other steps. You still do the full sequence, but knowing which step is doing the most emotional work for you that day helps you move through the preparation with honesty rather than speed. For a fuller account of how the Strong Method operates in team contexts, the article on how leaders can use the Strong Method to build synergy through every conversation covers this ground well. The conversation pre-mortem, diffusing worst-case emotional scenarios. One tool that makes the strong sequence significantly more powerful is what I call the conversation pre-mortem, introduced in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time. Before you run the 6 steps, you take 5 minutes to answer 3 questions. First, what is the worst thing that could realistically happen in this conversation? Second, how likely is that? Honestly. Third, if it did happen, what would you do? Here is the truth of it. Most of the fear that floods you before a conflict conversation is not based on what will probably happen. It is based on what your imagination generates when you leave the question open. The pre-mortem closes the question. When you name the worst case and plan for it, your nervous system registers that you have a response. The threat rating drops. A reader who has struggled with defensive reactions during feedback conversations will recognize this pattern immediately. The same anxiety mechanism that causes defensiveness when receiving feedback causes flooding when giving it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Eat Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people undermine their own preparation. I have seen people work through the strong steps carefully and then walk into the conversation and lose everything they prepared. It nearly always comes down to one of these failures. The mistake. Rushing the breath step because it feels unnecessary. Why it happens. The physiological component of emotional control feels less important than the cognitive one. People want to think their way to calm. What to do instead? Treat step two as non-negotiable. 2 minutes of deliberate breathing changes your biochemistry in ways no amount of mental rehearsal can replicate. The mistake. Writing an intention that sounds right, but is not honest. Why it happens. We tell ourselves what we should want rather than what we actually want. What to do instead? Ask yourself whether the intention you wrote would embarrass you if the other person could read it. If not, it is probably honest. If yes, rewrite it. The mistake. Preparing only for one version of the conversation. Why it happens. We rehearse the response we are most afraid of and leave no room for the conversation to go well. What to do instead? Run the pre-mortem for the difficult scenarios, then spend equal time preparing for a positive outcome. Both are real possibilities. This kind of careful preparation is exactly what I describe in the article about how the Strong Method prepares individual team members for synergy-critical conversations, where the stakes are high and the emotional readiness of each individual shapes the outcome for the whole group. How the confidence-competence loop makes emotional control permanent. Here is something I want you to understand about emotional control in conflict conversations. It is not a performance you execute under pressure. It grows. In Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe the confidence-competence loop, the self-reinforcing cycle, where practice builds competence, small successes build confidence, and that confidence drives further practice and success. Emotional control works the same way. Every time you use the strong sequence before a conflict conversation, and it helps you stay clear, you add evidence to your internal record. You handled that. You can handle the next one. The anxiety that once felt like a stop sign starts to behave more like a green light, a signal that this matters, not that you should retreat. This is not the loud confidence of someone who never doubts themselves. It is the quiet, grounded confidence of someone who has faced difficult conversations and knows they can navigate them. That kind of confidence cannot be shortcut. It is built through specific, repeated preparation. For anyone preparing to actually start one of these conversations, the article on how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy picks up where this emotional preparation leaves off. And if the conflict conversation is specifically around resolving a team fracture, the Deal Method article gives you the resolution structure that follows strong emotional preparation. For high-stakes feedback conversations specifically, the article on how to use a strong method before a high-stakes feedback conversation applies this exact preparation to feedback delivery. Building the preparation habit over the next 30 days. You do not need to master all 6 steps at once. Here is a realistic path toward making this preparation instinctive. In the first week, use the method before one conflict conversation, any conflict conversation, even a relatively minor one. Notice how you feel walking in versus how you felt before without preparation. In the second week, pay attention to which step is hardest for you. For most people, it is either step 1, because honesty about intention is uncomfortable, or step 3, because genuine perspective taking requires setting aside certainty. That difficulty is your growing edge. Stay with it. By the end of the month, the sequence should take you no more than 10 to 15 minutes to complete. That is the investment. What you get back is the emotional control method working as a reliable system rather than a set of ideas you remember in hindsight. Conflict conversations do not become easy, but they become yours to manage. The ground stops shaking because you built something solid before you stepped onto it. Frequently asked questions. What is the emotional control method in conflict resolution? The emotional control method in conflict resolution is a structured, pre-conversation process that prepares you mentally and physically before a difficult discussion begins. Rather than relying on willpower in the moment, it builds the internal conditions for clear thinking to deliberate steps taken in advance. How does the strong method help with emotional control? The strong method builds emotional control by giving you 6 specific steps to complete before a conflict conversation starts. Each step reduces anticipatory anxiety, clarifies your intention, and shifts your nervous system from threat response to problem-solving mode before you say a single word. Why do emotions hijack conflict conversations? Emotions hijack conflict conversations because the brain perceives interpersonal threat the same way it perceives physical danger. When the amygdala fires, rational thinking narrows and reactive patterns take over. Without a structured preparation ritual, most people enter difficult conversations already emotionally flooded before they begin. What is anticipatory anxiety and how does it affect conflict conversations? Anticipatory anxiety is the dread you feel before a difficult conversation, not during it. It triggers the same physiological stress response as the conversation itself. Left unmanaged, it means you arrive already flooded with cortisol, making calm, clear communication far harder from the first exchange. How do I use the conversation premortem to reduce emotional reactivity? The conversation premortem asks you to identify your worst-case scenarios before the conversation, assess how likely each one really is, and plan a response for each. This converts vague dread into specific, manageable preparation and stops your imagination from generating fear that overwhelms your thinking. Can emotional control be practiced or is it a natural trait? Emotional control is a skill built through practice, not a trait you either have or lack. The confidence competence loop shows that small successful acts of self-regulation build genuine composure over time. Each prepared conversation adds evidence that you can handle pressure, and that evidence becomes your calm. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.